Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mrs. Clark?
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, by posting it in Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2024. This agenda is complete to the extent known. Formal action will be taken.
A roll call, please.
Mr. Paul Cervo.
He's here, and I'm
here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Forbes?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Hohenleitner?
I am also here. Let's please stand now for a moment of silent reflection, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May I have a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes? It's the February 8th regular meeting and executive session meeting.
Cusick moves.
Forbes seconds.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Palacero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
The minutes have passed.
This is the fun part. I say that every time. This is always the fun part. So I'm going to read a little history of Wild About Atlantic Highlands. It's gardening for wildlife, and our two volunteers of the month are here, Elaine Egidio and Marilyn Sherpin. So Elaine had a vision while pondering how she could be of service to our town. She asked Marilyn Sherpin to join her endeavor. They both understood the importance of humans working together and supporting nature. Atlantic Highlands becoming recognized by the National Wildlife Federation as a community wildlife habitat in 2023 is a result of the collaborative endeavor. And just on a personal note, I don't know if any of you know about squirrels really like corn cobs hanging from bungee cords, because I was sitting in Elaine's back porch for some of the planning of this, and when we were registering the website, and that was that's how she drew me there every time. Through meeting neighbors, educating on social media, weekly presence in the Atlantic Highlands Farmers Market, collaboration with the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council, support from the mayor and council, and other Atlantic Highlands environmental groups, we did a lot of outreach. They've learned and continue learning that insects, bees, birds, and all pollinators are necessary for the health of Earth and all the creatures that inhabit her, including humans. We have learned that creating gardens to support a diverse ecosystem creates pathways for the pollinators to eat, gather food, lay eggs, and feed their young. Through simple gardening practices such as planting trees, plants, and bushes that are native to our area, which will support the pollinators. So our lifelong resident, Elaine, has been a lover of nature since a young child, dancing under the clouds and hiding in trees. You can occasionally spot a fairy in her backyard also. I don't know if I was supposed to tell anybody that. She's married to Michael Ferry, who also serves the town. He's a poll worker every year at the Hess Building, and they have two children and two grandchildren. She's also a dance movement therapist and licensed professional counselor in private practice, and continues to have a strong connection with nature. She's had many different jobs in her life, but she was a psychiatrist and an addiction inpatient and outpatient in Asbury Park, a mental health counselor in elementary K-8, and taught dance, BA Rhoda, Spain, and New Jersey. Everybody knows Marilyn Sherpin from her time as the branch manager of our Atlantic Highlands Library. Since she's retired in 2012, she has finished her terms on the Shade Tree Commission and the Recreation Commission. And my favorite part is her thesis that she did recently when she went back to school at age 71 and received her master's degree in anthropology in 2019. And it was about collecting. It's really interesting, and you should talk to her about it. She currently volunteers with the Huber Woods Gardening Team, Steering Committee for Monmouth Chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Jersey, the Atlantic Highlands Food Pantry, open space in addition to Wild About Atlantic Highlands. So I'd like to bring them up tonight and give them these certificates. And it's incredible how many, say it up and say a few words about how many gardens that you've registered and how the town has become. Now Council Member Forbes will read a proclamation honoring Women's History Month.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a proclamation from Mayor and Council, Borough of Atlantic Highlands, recognizing March as National Women's History Month. Whereas American women of every race, class, and ethnic background have made historic contributions to the growth and strength of our nation in countless recorded and unrecorded ways, and whereas American women have played and continue to play critical economic, cultural, and social role in every sphere of the life of this nation by constituting a significant portion of the labor force working inside and outside of the home, and whereas American women have played a unique role throughout the history of the nation by providing the majority of the volunteer labor force of the nation, and whereas American women were particularly important in the establishment of early charitable, philanthropic, and cultural institutions in our nation, and whereas American women of every race, class, and ethnic background served as early leaders in the forefront of every major progressive social change movement, and whereas American women have served our country courageously in the military, and whereas American women have been leaders not only in securing their own rights of suffrage and equal opportunity, but also in the abolitionist movement, the emancipation movement, the industrial labor movement, the civil rights movement, and other movements, especially the peace movement, which create a more fair and just society for all. And whereas despite these contributions, the role of American women in history has been consistently overlooked and undervalued in the literature, teaching, and study of American history, and whereas the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress designated March as Women's History Month and call upon the people of the United States to observe March as Women's History Month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands hereby recognize and celebrate the month of March as Women's History Month.
Thank you. You want a good historical proclamation? Ask a historian to write it for you. Thank you, Rob. Okay, so we do have unfinished business tonight, so let's move to Ordinance Number 3, 2024, amending Chapter 150, HBD and CBD Zones, public hearing and possible adoption. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance?
I'll move it.
Dougherty, second.
Thank you. Council President Dougherty, you had asked to say a few words about the changes, and we'll do that now.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So at the February 1st Planning Board meeting, the consistency review that was held by the Planning Board for this ordinance, it was unanimously deemed consistent with the master plan. There were three very slight changes to one specific section. So I'm going to ask Mr. Rohmeyer to share his screen. We'll have it up on the screen so we can see what those changes are. They were not considered material changes that would require additional or a reintroduction. They were mainly semantic changes, so we could see that so the public and anyone on Zoom can see what these changes are. Okay, so it's a little, so it's specifically to section 150-42, section A7, it's with respect to the buffer that must exist between any developments in the central business district and or historic business district and any residential zones. And Doug, do you have anything you'd like to add to these changes? We had deemed the suggestions of specifically by the planning board member, Katrina Majewski, as being an improvement over what was introduced.
Thank you, Council President. The modification shown on the screen, based on the board's input, planning board's input, it's minor. It's really just clarifying the ways to implement the buffer by way of vegetation or the fence itself. So no real change to it. It's just the way that the wording is being presented.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else on council have any discussion on this at this moment? I'll ask again before we vote. Okay. Any members of the public? Mr. Lancer, come on up. When speaking in these meetings, please come to the front and state your name and address. If you're on Zoom, please raise your hand virtually and we will bring you on.
Josh Lyons, 460 Bayside Drive. These are all development regulations, but are anti-development regulations. They take the borough 180 degrees in the wrong direction. They look backwards instead of forwards. We are in a housing affordability crisis, and these regulations prioritize parking over housing. Does anyone know how many parking spaces there are in Atlantic Highlands? I mean, they're making policy without gain, if that's my point. The fastest way to increase affordable housing is to let people convert garages into what are currently known as auxiliary dwelling units. The borough doesn't even have regulations governing ADUs, so each conversion would have to be approved by the planning board individually without any guidelines.
We're working on that, Mr. Leinsdorf.
Oh, we absolutely are.
Thank you. Great. I didn't know. I'll point out that East Highland Avenue, east of First Avenue, is a one-lane road at night when residents park their cars on both sides of the street rather than in their garages or driveways. The reason is that garages are already too valuable to use for parking. Most garages are used for storing items that otherwise would have to be in their houses. So garages are already, in fact, adjuncts to the housing. These regulations will make the housing crisis worse and will make Atlantic Highlands even less affordable than it is now. Let me point out that Queen Victoria died in 1901, and that the vote has changed a lot since then. The average household size in 1900 was 4.6 persons. Today, it's two people less. There were 8,000 motor vehicles compared to 280 million today. These regulations are repeating all the mistakes that have created the current affordability, housing, and environmental crisis we face. In the interest of staying within the intent of the public comment item, I'd like to tell you two quick personal stories. In my college dorm, students picked up their mail at the mailboxes in the lobby. This was where we made our friends. But the student body was fragmented according to housing needs. The college wanted students to identify more strongly with the college as a whole, so they decided to build a new student center where everyone would go to get their mail. They hired a famous architect, raised their required money, and built a spectacular student center just in time for email. The college now has an empty $60 million white elephant. No one saw the internet coming. So they built for the past, not for the future. The future is what's happening now, an electronic overlay of the physical environment. Congestion pricing, speed cameras, reserved parking are all coming. These regulations are locking Atlantic Highlands to an obsolete, already unaffordable physical plant.
Thank you, Becky. Anybody else?
Mr. Leinsdorf, I don't want to interrupt you, but I know if you turn and ask Mr. Fisher, he'll tell you exactly how many parking spaces are in town. I'm remembering, Mark, the municipal lot is somewhere around 159 or 179.
The main municipal lot itself is 174. Six of them are in here.
Right. And then we have an accounting for everything on the street. I just didn't want to interrupt, but we're acutely aware.
Everything. An inventory of every parking space on all the streets, all over town, not just downtown, like Tanglewood, about 600 are downtown, more or less. But when you add Thailand, when you add Washington, when you add first, if it's second, third, how many parking spaces are there available in town?
We'll look into it. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, they say you should have an inventory
before
you make the decision.
Mr. Romeo, anyone on Zoom?
10 attendees, no hands raised.
Okay, Mr. Fisher, come on up.
Since last November, when we tabled ordinance 15-2023, there have been some things that went on basically in since then. In addition to the planning board, we established a working ordinance review subcommittee of three people. There's two other board commissions and committees that have also established working ordinance review subcommittees, the open space commission, as well as the environmental commission. So here we have three different volunteer appointee commissions looking at our ordinance, and for the two other boards, let's call them environmental and open space, they're looking at a more broad picture of the ordinances. The planning board obviously is zoomed in on just the development ordinances, but the other two are also looking at the development ordinances. So my conclusion here is I think this ordinance should be tabled for now to give these three ordinance review subcommittees time to look at what they're reviewing. And their mission is to come back to the planning board as well as the council to advise you on changes they think should be made to the development ordinances as well as other ordinances. So I think this ordinance is premature. Obviously, if you compare ordinance 3 to ordinance 15 from last year, it's much different. The design and architectural piece is taken out of it, and what was left is tweaked. But I still think that this is premature. We can give these other three subcommittees time to do their work. ultimately to the council to suggest changes in a much broader picture.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone on Zoom?
None at this time.
Okay, council discussion, if there's any. No? Okay, can I have the roll call, please?
Well, councilman?
Yes.
Any thoughts to what Mr. Fisher just said?
Yeah, I have plenty of them. I would say that Ordinance 15, the design elements were withdrawn from this version of the ordinance so that subcommittee could look specifically at those components. This section, what remains from this development ordinance, was the less, or I would say not controversial part. What this density designation does is it sets a higher bar for developers to be fully compliant with our other regulations. So if a certain parcel, a 20,000 square foot parcel, for example, of land, and would be 18 or 19 units on that parcel, those would be fully compliant, 18 or 19 units on that parcel. When I say fully compliant, for parking, setbacks, buffer zones, height, what this does is it strengthens, it's a tool for the planning board to strengthen the rest of our regulations. It doesn't, you know, with respect to Mr. Leinsdorf and his discussion on parking, it doesn't lock us in to anything. None of this says this will be the regulation for eternity. But what this does is it's fully compliant and consistent with our master plan, which, by the way, our master plan is due for revision in 2026. That's not that far away. We're going to get started on that fairly soon, and we can look at these things. And to the mayor's point, accessory dwelling units is I think where we're headed, not only as a nation but as a state, the state of New Jersey, and I think in our community as well. We need to look very closely at this. But I would say this is a significant step forward. It's an important tool in the toolbox of our planning board members, and it keeps regulation within or development within reason in these two specific zones.
I was pleased with the way it handles parking, in that it's making the developers put on site and we're taking stress off of our lot, our municipal lot. So I was happy to see that personally.
Thank you. Yeah. I would say one of the other really important components of this, and it's easy to overlook it, is the minimum principal use of 40% in the central business and the historic business district. What is happening is with some of these mixed-use buildings, the principal use has been shrinking. So any retail or restaurant space has been shrinking because there is no minimum. So there really isn't much being provided to the community in our walkable downtown. This establishes for the first time a minimum principal use of 40% of the ground floor square footage has to be provided to the principal use. And so that, I think, is a significant step forward. And yeah, I would very much appreciate council support.
Great.
On this.
Thank you. All right, let's do a roll call.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ordinance 3-2024 has passed.
Thank you, everyone.
I do hope that at some point we'll revisit the architectural elements.
Absolutely. The subcommittees have been working on it, and I communicated today with Dr. Zuzulak, who's a member of the subcommittee, to get an update on where it is, and with the hope that we can reintroduce those as soon as possible.
It will not be easy, but I think it's necessary to, if we're going to try to retain as development comes in and we know there's still open space there.
Sure.
And things, ownership changes to be able to retain the look and the feel and the tone of downtown.
I agree.
Great. Okay, moving on to Ordinance 1A, 2024, Salary Ordinance, Public Hearing and Possible Adoption. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance?
Dougherty moves.
Close for the seconds.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to make a comment on this one? Mr. Fisher, come on up.
Again, Mayor, I'm Marcus Manning, Ontario. After reviewing the reintroduced ordinance, I see changes to the
controlling steps, that's one thing. But I also need to question the hourly seasonal employee rates of pay. I pulled up the 2024 minimum wage pricing January 1. It says most employers increased from $14.13 to $15.13 per hour. I added to that a seasonal and small employers, fewer than 6 employees, increased from $12.93 to $13.73 per hour. And then long-term facility staff increased from $17.13 to $18.13. Now, if you look at the minimum allowable hourly rate in the ordinance, it's listed as $13 in about 15 different positions.
I asked the same question of Mr. Farragina, and he has an answer.
Good. So, as you know, that's just reflective of the range.
Right.
But currently, we have implemented with the UCA program, all our employees will receive any compensation hourly rate of what's reflected. Legal.
Yes,
please.
I know the one we introduced at the last meeting had $15 as a minimum for all of these part-timers, and the maximum was also increased. That's what was introduced, and the one that's in the packet seems not to be the one that was introduced last month. Now, if I'm not correct, then I think we should revise it and reintroduce it on first meeting, because the minimum wage that the mayor's request and suggesting, based on Mr. Fisher's comments earlier, we make sure that the minimum for all the job will be $15.
So
I think Michelle and I spoke today, we don't know what happened.
So, Council, the copy that the governing body has here today does reflect $15.
That is the one the governing body had at the last meeting, but when I certified it, I went back to the old one that they had. They voted on the 15th. Which is what they
do. Okay, so let's split this off into two separate sections now. Let's go back to my original question of the $13 minimum. It really shouldn't even be.
It doesn't exist anymore. That's not what we're. It's $15.
Okay. So, second thing now, thank you. The public has $13 in what was available for them for the tip, which I did. Yet you have a different. I know where this is going to go. You guys have the final word,
the new one, the correct one, was reposted. It was my mistake. I certified the old copy.
What they will vote on this evening is 15.
Okay, then I withdraw my question.
Thank you.
It's
anybody else?
Yeah.
No, nobody online?
No hands raised.
Okay, anybody up here? All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Palacerda.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 1A 2024 has passed.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay.
Mark, our copies, I'm just going to reiterate, we saw $15 in our copies. So, unfortunately, that didn't go out to you properly, but we were voting on the correct.
And it's correct now.
Yep.
And it's been stated already.
Yep.
Ordinance 6, 2024, bond ordinance. Harbor utility bulkhead improvements. Public hearing possible adoption. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance?
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to make a comment on this? Anybody in Zoom land?
No hands raised.
Okay. Anybody on council? Great. Well, then, let's have a roll call.
Mr. Palacerda.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ford.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 6, 2024 has passed.
Tripping along here. Okay. So there is no workshop discussion tonight. So right now, we're going to ask members of the public if they have any comment on agenda items only. So items on the consent agenda and items on the regular agenda. Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher again, 91 Third Avenue. I know you can't get into the specifics specifics of the ordinance, but if you could just explain a little bit more about what amending development plan checklist means. We have ordinances, and then I don't know what this checklist is.
I'd be happy to answer that. So when an applicant comes before the planning board with wants to do a an addition or put, it's 11 pages and it's massive, and it's in fact it's the requirements that the applicant needs to provide under municipal land use law in the state of New Jersey. That checklist needs to be amended by ordinance. What we're doing here, and you'll be pleased to know at least part of this, is that we are requiring in the checklist two things that we almost always ask for at the planning board level. So that is geotechnical review in the R3 and the steep slope, and specifying traffic and parking requirements for developments, traffic studies. So setting the minimum so that it matches the expert witness ordinance, the requirements, the reporting dates, hours, etc.
Checklist is definitely not the
correct.
Those are good changes, but I have one more.
Okay.
Two recent applications you sit on the required the applicant to come to the board for approval for simple things. And the most recent one was the gentleman who needed more laundry space, and he wanted to enclose a section of his side porch, I think it was. Because his existing structure did not meet the current setback requirements, he's required to come to the board to get approval. Now, if his setbacks were perfect, it would just simply be getting a building permit from Michelle. So I think that requirement is way out of date. I mean, this gentleman wasn't changing the footprint of his property at all. He was just putting up three walls and throwing a washer and dryer in there. So I think that checklist needs to be tweaked a little bit more to say that that type of an application should not need the cost of going through a planning board.
So you don't complete the checklist until you get a zoning denial, but we're looking at ways that we can try to simplify this process. So that kind of example, that kind of application, if we could look for a way that they don't have to go through this process, don't have to wait to get put on the agenda, don't have to experience the delays and cost. But it's not, the checklist only applies once you receive the zoning denial, and then you have to provide the documentation that it calls for.
Daunting for a simple application like that to be handed this 11-page application.
Just a quick anecdote. A few years ago, my wife and I did an addition on our home. We have an existing nonconformity, a nine-foot side setback. And I was a member of the planning board, and when I got this checklist, I had very little idea how to complete it. I asked lots of questions of Mrs. Clark. She probably remembers, but understood. Thank you.
Anyone else in the public? Council?
Thank you. Especially for the traffic study, which is very detailed.
I thought you were going to thank me for the reformatting of the document. That took about 4 hours.
That looked good, too. It's very smooth, but I was most appreciative to see the traffic study outlined in detail.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman, I have one question that may or may not make sense, but the survey is required every every 5 years.
Yeah.
Can I ask why?
Mr. O'Meara, do you know that answer to that?
I don't know that answer.
It's expensive to get a survey done.
I agree. It could be a large task for an applicant, especially a single family homeowner, to get an updated survey on the property. If you don't have a guideline on the age of a survey that would be accepted by the board, what you see in boards throughout the state are possibly like 20 or 30 year old surveys that don't necessarily capture the existing conditions, the current conditions, other improvements are immediately adjacent to the site. So it's an attempt to send a guidance on how recent the survey needs to be and accurate. It's trying to ensure accuracy.
Mayor,
can I raise a flag on that one too? I do a lot of real estate closings, and a survey that's 10 years old is acceptable. If it's older than 10, they do a survey affidavit, which might be something that would be an alternative to requiring a survey every 5 years. You might consider that.
Good looking at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, roll call.
No.
Sorry.
Roll call. No, we consent. Now we go to consent.
That was just public comment.
We're from out of public comment.
No, we don't. I had a whole script done with our attorney today. So we're voting.
Okay.
This is an instruction.
No, we didn't. Well, yeah, we didn't do consent. And then we do the introduction.
We were discussing ordinance 07.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I checked it off. I got ahead of myself. Okay.
We're moving along.
Sorry. Consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. May I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
Dougherty moves.
Crowley seconds.
Thank you. Now could we have a roll call?
Mr. Palacerdo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay, now we're at the introduction. Ordinance 7-2024, amending development plan checklist, introduction.
Dougherty moves.
Crowley seconds.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Palacerdo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 7-2024 has been properly introduced. Second reading and public hearing, March 14th.
Thank you. Okay, so it's time for administrators' reports and professionals. I'm not surprising anybody this time. Mr. Romeyer has been told he's going first.
Thank you. Very briefly, next week we have the pre-construction conference scheduled for the restrooms, the CDBG-funded restrooms over at Center at Park. once I have a schedule for the contractor, I'll report back on that. South Avenue Park, I wanted to just give an update. the ship period for the equipment is within the next week, so
great.
Barring no delays with manufacturing or painting or coating, the equipment should be received within the next week. That said, the contractor is looking for a weather window to perform the install and the port-in-place rubber install as well, and they're anticipating a three-week start-to-finish time period once they get started.
That's wonderful. So,
I'm hopeful we'll have an operable piece of equipment and the basketball hoops up for the spring.
Great.
That's really all I have tonight.
Awesome. Ms. Schaefer.
Aha. So I don't have a whole lot to do, but I did say in the last meeting that I did a report of the tax board hearings. It turns out that although they were heard on February 8th, they haven't yet decided anything. They're deciding on February 29th. So at the next meeting, I'll tell you what happened in those. As for the regionalization, the Attorney General's office is still fooling around and hasn't yet submitted their statement comprising the record on appeal, which is what moves the matter forward. And the court actually reached out to them today, asking them when they were going to come up with it and suggesting pretty vehemently that they get it done. The other matter we're handling is the Balad litigation. We've got a motion to dismiss. We come home next week. Well, I think that's all that's not subject to privilege. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We miss you. Okay, Mr. Paradina.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Just a few items this evening. On February 13th, Borough Hall remained closed, resulting from the snow and ice storm that took place that morning. This, I believe, was consistent with the closure of the elementary school as well. On February 15th, I attended the Municipal Reinsurance Health Insurance Fund reorganization meeting. On February 15th, Governor Murphy signed Executive Order 355, ordering the U.S. and state flags to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours for the following day, which was Friday, February 16th. In recognition and mourning of Senator and Assemblyman Paul J. Cantillo, a dedicated public servant. On February 21st, I attended the county's Community Development Block Grant 2024 reorganization meeting. And lastly, the Atlantic Islands Court recently received their annual audit. I'm happy to report that there were no comments provided and that the court clerk is doing an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, so we're on to council members. Councilmember Murphy, have you gone first yet?
I have, but that was a couple weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Oh, great. I only have a lot to talk about anyway, I got to see DPW, just two comments. Our street sweeper is back in service as of today. Thank you, Jimmy. It's the good news. DPW will conduct town-wide sweeping starting next week. And please refer to our printed borough calendar for all questions and schedules. For DPW, the borough does not control the online app, Recycle Coach, and at times they have incorrect information posted. Please always refer to the borough calendar for all DPW instructions. So that's all I got.
Okay, great, thanks. Mr. Calcerta.
Sure. Let's first talk about Shade Tree. At the last Shade Tree meeting, we finalized what will be the final version of the tribute plaques for individuals who will be getting trees dedicated to them, and I think they look great. There was also discussion about revising the town's ordinance related to the removal of trees, something that has been in the works for a while. There is hope that the revised ordinance will be sent to council soon for introduction and adoption. I think it's a move in the right direction. And then lastly, there was a review of a draft of the Shade Tree newsletter that I think looks really, really solid. And we are hopeful that that will hit your mailbox during first March or April. I think that's a reasonable time frame, and everyone in town should be getting one. There will also be a version of the newsletter online, so it's really nice work by the Shade Tree Commission on that. I have no report on Harbor. I have no report on Fire. As for the Chamber of Commerce, they met on February 13th. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend. My understanding is that the meeting focused on planning out the year in terms of proposed events and to establish estimated budgets for each event. The next Chamber of Commerce meeting is on March 12, 2024. That is all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. No reports from Police Department, but other than to say that our chief is under the weather, and so we wish him well. Recreation, Councilman Dougherty will add a couple of additional points here, but I will let you know that our next meeting is on the 21st of March at 5:30. Camp, summer camp, already time to think of that, even though it's 20 degrees outside, is going to be held July 8th through August 16th. We have a job posting. You can go to ahnj.com for our camp director. Some of the requirements are that you must be at least 21 years old and have experience with kids in recreation and sports, and the application must be received by Friday, April 19th. Our first aid squad, 29 calls answered in January, 17 so far in February, 46 then for the year to date. We have 15 members now making calls, which is that's a real uptick over the last year and a half. So thank you. And also I see one of our members in the back who's going through EMT school, five members. So thank you to all of you for going through school on behalf of your neighbors and your friends. I already announced the new line officers. Many of them are continuing on from last year. And the good news is that First Aid Squad is moving forward with purchasing their own new ambulance. So that's great news. Thank you for all their hustle and everything they've been doing for the fundraising on that front. DPW, I'll just tag on to what Councilman Murphy already said, sort of a snow theme here, that DPW wanted to thank all the residents that moved their cars off the street when possible, that allowed room for our borough's salt and plow trucks to clear the roadways. So thank you. And also thank you for not shoveling and blowing your snow off of your sidewalks into the street and making things more hazardous for other people that are driving through town. By the way, if you tune, I'll just say this, because last time Councilwoman Cusack asked me about where the AM radio is. So it's AM 1690. There's a whole series of announcements on there that are sort of helpful tips for all of us during snow events. So you can listen to that. It repeats all the time. Some big news. Yesterday, a meeting with representatives from Comcast, after 3 or 4 years of first negotiating a deal to get $80,000 worth of fiber optics delivered to Borough Hall, it is finally happening. So I'm very happy about that. And no cost to the borough at all. We'll be able to use that for launching, I hope, a public access TV channel that'll be part of recreation eventually, part of the curriculum for kids to learn how to get into TV production, and also for our neighbors to be able to put together their own Between Two Ferns programming on Channel 3 or wherever. But we will get our channel on Comcast. So it's totally free, and it's going to be a great benefit to the town. And I think also for our, just our communications, whether it be the court system or just internally with IT, all to be still explored. And I'm going to say one more thing about the two ladies sitting in the front. I didn't want to interrupt the ceremonies, but beyond everything that you've done for Wild About Atlantic Highlands, you know what I call you, is the grandmother behind our single-use plastics law and all the work that you were doing with getting rid of straws and all that. You were, and you too, Elaine, both of you were behind all that, and you put Atlantic Highlands 4 years ahead of the state on getting rid of the single-use plastics. So your work has been going on for so many years and beyond getting us all to plant our yards properly to get us off plastic. So thank you. And that's it, Mayor.
Senior citizens, I do want to say at the club meeting on February 12th, senior citizens were thrilled to hear about the radio station and didn't know that there was a radio station. So it is something that we need to advertise some more. They also were very thrilled to hear that we're going to reinstate the newsletter. So because a lot of them do not use email or the internet. So they'd like to see that piece of paper, and I still have my Sunday Times, so I still read my paper. We do have two new committee members. I'm very happy to hear about Gloria Teal and Melinda Rivera will be participating in our committee, the Senior Citizens Committee. In terms of Veterans Affairs, we will be holding our first meeting of the year on March 5th at 6:30 here at Barrow Hall. And please, if anyone is interested in joining us, please attend. Happy to attend. We are looking for some additional members in the Veterans Committee. There is some additional information that we have received concerning our children action activities. As you know, we do have a number of killed in action mementos in the hallway here based on the across from Barrow Hall, the memorial that's over there. We will be getting some more information, and I will follow up with that information soon with you. In terms of the Office of Emergency Management, there's no report. Just want to thank everyone for coming in and helping out with your neighbors, whether it's the police department, DPW. Jim, I can't even begin to say what a great job your guys did. Phenomenal job. I live next door to the public stairs, and they were out there at 11 o'clock in the morning while it was still snowing and clearing it. So I really give everybody a lot of kudos. Again, and those who are clearing their some of the elder people in town, it's really nice that people go out and help out their own neighbors. To just make a quick note on cannabis, we are following up hopefully the first week of April. The workshop will be set. More information will not be coming. No report other than what you mentioned about our illustrious chief. I'm so sorry to hear that. I didn't know he was sick, and I have to give him a hard time about that. Because didn't he just get back from another vacation? I think he did. And lastly, the mayor's wellness campaign. I have no report on that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Council President Dougherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. No report tonight for finance or personnel. For recreation, the Recreation Committee met on February 15th. Some important upcoming dates of note. The Easter egg hunt is scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Harbor. Rain date is Sunday, March 24th. A flyer with details has been posted to the website and also the borough's Facebook page. The townwide yard sale is scheduled for Saturday, May 4th, with a rain date the next day, Sunday, May 5th. Registration is not yet open. Instructions for those who wish to participate will be posted soon. Planning Board, the next meeting will be held on March 7th here in this room and on Zoom. There's a lot of really good things happening with the Boards of Education, so bear with me as I read this next section. It's the longest part of my report. The three Boards of Education met this week. On Tuesday evening, the Atlantic Highlands Board met The Champion Awards for Perseverance were presented to the following worthy recipients. Apologies in advance for any mispronounced last names. The kindergartners, Nev Brummer, Brendan Foreman, Natalie Luizio, and Sophia Pena Nino. First graders, Jesslyn Alvarez, Gabriella Galgi, and Jack O'Donnell. Second graders, Denise Carmona, Travis Katzum, Henry Gorfain, and Jack Herr. Third graders, Jefferson Mejia Salguero, Lila Riley, Graham Soule, and Chloe Torres. Fourth graders, Natalie Hensel, Grayson McGrath, Sophia Shirek. Fifth graders, Matthew DeLuise, Cora Devereaux, and Quinn Maloney. And finally, the sixth graders, Flynn Bueller and Catherine Miller. The staff member of the month was Mrs. Merker. Congratulations to all of them. Preschool registration remains open. Eligibility, again, as a reminder, must be an Atlantic Highlands resident. The students must be between the ages of 3 and 4, and 3-year-olds must turn 4, or by 3, by October 1st, 2024. There's two different ways to register. You can register online or in-person. In-person at the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School, or online at ahes.tridistrict.org. On Wednesday, February 21st, both the Henry Hudson Regional Transition Board and the Henry Hudson Regional School Boards met. At the Transitional Board meeting, Dr. Tara Beams offered an update on regionalization. Things are moving forward with their internal planning, working with the DOE to get questions answered. There is much better communication with the DOE now that there's a new acting commissioner, Mr. Kevin Diemer, having been named last week. At the Henry Hudson meeting, the Student of the Month, Charlotte Young, Athlete of the Month, Jack Kirkpatrick, Artist of the Month, Emily Spagnolo, and Staff Member of the Month is Nancy Schaffery. There's an awful lot of excitement with the athletic teams up on the hill. The middle school girls basketball team played this afternoon in the league championship game against the Ramey School. Unfortunately, the result was not what we had hoped for, but we're so proud of the team for making it that far. The team was also invited this year for the 2024 Run for the Roses Grammar School Invitation Tournament. It's a really big deal to be invited to that, so that's great job, everyone. The girls' varsity basketball team played earlier this evening against Manville High School in the first round of the state playoffs, and as we speak, the boys' varsity basketball team is playing Highland Park in the first round of the state playoffs. Mr. Boylan and his film classes have been working on short films. Those should be released very soon. And finally, and I know this personally, auditions are scheduled for next week in the middle school production of Honk the Musical. My 13-year-old has been working on her selection, so stay tuned for details on that. And that, Mayor, ends my report.
Thanks, Councilman. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Colasura handled Harbor, but I do want to add that the next Harbor meeting is on March 5th at 7 p.m. in this room, so please join us if you wish. Council President took care of finance and personnel. Thank you. And lastly, the Green Team and the Environmental Commissions will be meeting on February 27th, that's next Tuesday. Green Team at 6 p.m., Environmental at 7 p.m. in the back conference room. So again, if anyone wants to join in, please do, and if I owe you an email, I will get to it. I'm looking at you, Dr. Trank.
Thanks. I just have a few quick things, and I've been going to too many wakes lately, so I just want to note the passing of our former code enforcement officer, Richard Graft. It was very sudden, and I want to thank our DPW and our water department for, and our police department, obviously, and for being there with him and on the scene. It was a rough day for a lot of people, and we're thinking of his family and Gloria. I know Jim's a close neighbor, so anything that we can do to help support them. I have no update from Mr. Colangelo. He's not at the basketball game. I thought I would be able to tell you what the score was, but I'll keep working on that.
They're up by 10 at the half.
Awesome. Oh, good. Okay, that's great. There is no update for the mayor's wellness campaign, as we were mentioning, but we have selected. So we've made some choices with our Sustainable New Jersey partners that we'll be working together with them, and there'll be some activity in the next month. The open space charrette, I think most of us were able to attend at least part of it, and it was really successful. So successful that we were sort of looking for a bigger location perhaps for the next one, but we had about 30 to 40 people there at any given time, and I have been getting so much positive feedback about how the meeting was run and how Fran Reiner from DMR is now taking the suggestions of that group, and he is working with his team to come up with some options to present to the community at the next charrette, which will be on March 13th. It's currently still scheduled to be at the senior building in the harbor, but there's a possibility that we will find another location for that. Okay, so I am giving a PSA here. I have to pull it up. Councilman Bombs is in the back of the room, and he has been very involved in the Where the Angels Play Foundation, which was founded after Sandy Hook. So Smog Castle, next Saturday, the 2nd, is doing a benefit, and it is going to be Father's Promise and Concert. So there's a movie called A Father's Promise, which is about the founder of, after Sandy Hook, promise that Mark Barden made to his son that he would help be an advocate for change. So there's a concert after. I'm reading their promotion here. The film will be followed by a musical performance from Mark Barden, who is the father, and Jimmy Vivino of the Promise Band. Proceeds from the event will go to Artists for Action, where Angels Play Foundation and Smog Castle Foundation, which is a new entity, they just created a foundation to support some educational opportunities, and we've been working with them to get them going on the foundation. But I think it's going to be a great event, and I think if the community could support it as much as possible, that would be great. The tickets are on sale at smogcastle.com.
When is it?
It's the 2nd, March 2nd. My husband's great birthday. He doesn't know how he's spending it yet. He does now. He's here. I think that's it for me. So it's now time to go into public comment. Members of the public who would like to make comments may raise your hand here in the courtroom, and once recognized, please come to the front of the room and state your name and address. If a member of the public is joining via Zoom, please raise your virtual hand, and once recognized, state your name and address. Thank you. Okay. Mrs. Clark? That's okay. You know what? Don't say it. We're good. Be nice. Okay? Be nice and be productive. Mr. Krause, come on up.
Yes, ma'am. James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. First, on behalf of the rent levelers, there's been some confusion and rumor in town about when the ordinance is affected. So on Tuesday, I was able to have a conversation with Ms. Schaefer's colleague, Sarah Fitzpatrick, who drafted the ordinance. First, as clearly stated in the final clause of the ordinance takes effect after passage and publication. The passage was 2 weeks ago, publication was on Valentine's Day. So the ordinance is in effect at the moment.
Great.
It has been in effect since last Wednesday. Second, there's a clause, K is the press, that says the ordinance takes precedence over any lease. So when speaking to Ms. Fitzpatrick, she informed me that that means that any lease, that any lease renewal that begins on February 14th, 2024 or thereafter, must be in compliance with the ordinance, even if the lease was signed prior to February.
Got it.
And Ms. Fitzpatrick had conveniently done some research very recently. There was a Supreme Court case that affirms that in 1985. South Hamilton Associates versus Mayor and Council Morristown. And the site is 99NJ437. So that effectively means that any apartment in town that is not subject to the exemptions of the ordinance, any renewal from the 14th of February last week onward is subject to the limitations of the rent increase in the ordinance.
Great, thank you.
Okay, now switching gears to something personal, not related to the rent board, and something that, since this is the first meeting I've attended in person since the beginning of November, I wanted to be here personally to say this because it's something very nice about the board of the department. However, before I say that, I just want to say that because of recent events, I want to affirm my standing. I'm a resident since February of 2008. My wife and I have not owned any property anywhere on planet Earth other than the Atlantic Islands since May of 2008. If subpoenaed, I will happily go to the freehold and subject myself to some interrogation and waste everybody's time.
Noted.
Early in November, it's the same time frame that the League of Municipalities occurred. My wife and I woke up and saw water pouring out of our retaining wall. We actually have an easement on our property with a water main that runs from a paved portion of Hillside Road down to Hillside Drive. We contacted the water department. They were on the scene almost immediately. They identified where the leak was behind our retaining wall. They were very concerned that they were going to take a chainsaw and tear up our retaining wall, which I know that if they did that, they would have been replaced. But they were able to dig under the retaining wall, tunnel under, shave the tree root so that the it's no longer putting pressure on the main, put a collar on the water main, stopped the leak. They put the dirt back, and this I was surprised. They were able to compact the earth back down so that all we're going to have to do in the springtime is put some grass in there. I think they did a fantastic job.
I think our neighbors care what up, but I mean, our gardening folks are going to maybe try to talk you out of that.
Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, come on down. We're up. I don't know. Any hands online?
Not at this time. Mark Fisher, 93rd Avenue. I was one of the 30 to 40 people that attended the charrette last week. I highly suggest anyone who wasn't there to participate in the March
13th
session. From what I understand, the planner is going to bring back three concepts, and the next work group will build off those three concepts to kind of get down to the details. So I highly suggest that, or whatever the location is, that you go and provide your input. Second thing, I'd like to give kudos to this council. We got very significant news at the end of the last council meeting that this council and the County of Monmouth have entered into a partnership negotiation with the Diocese of Trenton to purchase the St. Agnes property. That's a huge step that we've been waiting for 2-4 years, whatever it's been, maybe even more. So is there any update? I guess that's my...
There's not. So we are waiting, and our partner at the county level is waiting to hear back from the diocese.
Okay. Well, thank you again. Great job. It's been a long time in the making. I hope you have something really significant.
Mr. Leinsdorf.
Really related to the other thing, but tangential. We can reduce traffic, we can increase parking spaces by making it possible for people to walk. So my question is there any progress on getting the cars off the sidewalk at the Town Plaza? And why is this so difficult? I just don't get it.
I'm going to defer to Mr. Farragina, but I think the difficulty is the private property aspect of it. I know.
We continue to try. We're exploring every angle.
Don't you have a survey that shows this in the right of way, that it's private property, and you have the sidewalk here and the sidewalk here?
Well, Thus far, we have not been able to obtain any tangible information that would force the landowner to install a sidewalk there. However, this isn't a finished deal. We're still working on it. We're exploring every angle. We did explore working diligently with the DOT. That did not come to fruition in terms of them taking ownership of putting pressure on the landowner. We have consulted with the borough attorney on this as well. So we're exploring different things. It's not a done issue. I know you're passionate about it. I've worked quite a bit on it myself.
Right. I know you're all working on it. The question is, I just don't understand. Don't you have proof that it is in the right way? I mean, when they made the jug handle, they had to condemn properties and do surveys and all that. I thought the highway department would have the lines. I went to Trent was pretty old and got the key. It's in the record. The other thing is regionalization lawsuit. I don't understand why the borough has asked to be withdrawn from the suit. I don't know why. What do we really have a dog in the fight between Seabright and Shore Regional? I don't think we do. And it's costing us money.
Hey, just answer that.
But the regionalization, we're name dependent. If that we do have an interest in how this shakes out, we're not going to take the lead on it. We're going to minimize the expenses as much as we can. But I know that the mayor and council are interested in making this happen if it can happen. So in order for us to stay involved in the game,
they named us as a defendant. We don't get to decide if we're named in a suit or not. Trust me, I'm really familiar with this right now.
You can ask to be dismissed as
my colleague did recently in the same matter I'm discussing.
You did ask to be taken out of the suit.
No, I'm talking about another different matter.
No, but I mean, why can't we be taken out of the regionalization thing? Because it's not.
We were a party to the decision before the commission. So as a party, we are now part of the appeal. The appeal has been filed by the other two towns. And we really, there's no basis for which we should be dismissed. We were a participant. So, like I said, nobody's asked us to spend the town's money on this, but we do want to keep our finger on the pulse.
And I just want to say, I think we should have asked them to dismiss the pulse. I don't think we have any interest in what happened to the
team. I appreciate that. Thank you. Mr. Alsman.
Mayor, Council, Frank Alsman, 799 Avenue. I've been the residence since 2014. In light of recent events this week, I would just like to commend Officer Travis Soto. My husband and I were away on vacation in Cuba. Our house was subject to multiple trespassers, burglaries, legal documents early in the morning, late at night, banging on the door. I called the Atlanta Heights Police Department. Officer Soto was up to report. He investigated. He went and checked on the house and called me back. And was an extremely professional person, and I want to make sure that.
Thank you very much.
And I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. Ms. Sherman?
Carolyn Sherman, 55 Avenue D. Thank you once again for the honor that was bestowed upon me and the town. Because I was so excited, I forgot to answer your question. We have approximately 115 guards that are certified, and we're still able to get them certified. So for anybody that has not, nwf.org/certified, and you can get your guard certified with the proper requirements
set. Do you want to remind us the elements? I know water, sewers. Go ahead.
Food, water, place to raise young.
Shelter?
Sustainable practices and shelter. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
But this is not my main reason for being up here tonight. I did up to what Mr. Fisher said about the St. Agnes property. Thank you. Wonderful news. But my main reason for being here is to say thank you to the town for having the wonderful people that are employed here. Several weeks ago, as you mentioned, we lost a neighbor of ours, Richard Rast, and our house looks onto their property. And I saw a police car go by, and of course I was. And then I saw another one. And then I saw, and I don't know who the officers are except Harry Martha, who was part of the group. I just know that there were people working very, very diligently, very valiantly to revive Mr. Rast. It did not occur. The word hero is used so often, and I think inappropriately. It's often used with baseball players or football players. In my mind, they are not heroes. Heroes are people that work valiantly for an end that may not come, for an ideal that they have. And these people, and I understand the street department was there as well, these people worked so hard, so long. And often a hero, you think of a winner associated with that word hero. And because the end was not what they expected or hoped for, one might think that they didn't win, but they did. They won in so many ways, and I want to say thank you to everybody that helped out there and to the town that provides equal benefit. Thank you.
Thank you.
All set.
Anybody on Zoom?
No hand raised.
Anybody else here? Last chance. Mr. Barbato.
Hey. Paul Barbato, 22 Lowry Road, a.k.a. Lousy Road, but I'm going to even make it worse. Horror Road. Unfortunately, these gentlemen had some problems, but as a result of the snow and all, the wall that I spent thousands of dollars on, where the drain is at the end of the road, was smashed. Not a nice thing to find, but the situation is, I don't know if it's due to snow removal or whatever, but it was some kind of truck that had to do this damage. Remedy right now is to do a police report, but hopefully there may be some photos somehow through a video. Anyway, so that was not one of the reasons why I came. Also, we've been sharing emails back and forth, and it's come to my attention now with all these emails that it's deemed by the borough or the professionals that this is a private matter. Well, having water for 20 years being flooded by water that's from the town, from the street, from the hill, it's created a real serious problem. I find that all I get is, you have a problem there, you have a problem. No resolution, not one person has said, you know, Paul, you know, maybe if you do this, maybe if you do that, or maybe if you contact this person or that person. At this point in the juncture that we're at, I'm going to go to the county, I'm going to the state, because it is not legal and it's not reasonable to have oncoming water onto private property.
Okay, thank you.
And that's where we have to go. And as a senior, you know, I'm 72 years old, I'm tired, I cannot be a soldier to this drain and cleaning up the streets and all. My other neighbors, we do, we keep that street spotless. Nobody has to even clean the leaves and all. I didn't even put leaves on the street. I used them to fill the craters that have been created by all this erosion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any hands? Anybody here have any comments? Going once? Twice? All right, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
It's like, you know, we're not going over. It's like the Price is Right rules. So, what you're saying.